We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Freedom Mortgage, dedicated to veterans and your homeownership needs. Visit freedommortgage.com/CBSVets, NMLS 2767, Equal Housing Lender.
You know, speaking of entertainment, our next guest has been entertaining me and his fellow veterans for many years and in a variety of ways. He's probably best known for his time as a top-level mixed martial artist competing in Strikeforce, the UFC, and other promotions where he achieved a record of 18-6 as a professional. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. He's had success as a television host with the History Channel's Hunting Hitler. He's an entrepreneur who's had successful partnerships with companies like Ranger Up, and he's even dipped his toe in the acting pool, most notably in the vet-created movie Range 15. And, of course, he's a Ranger, Sniper, and Green Beret in the United States Army. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show the one and only Tim Kennedy. Tim, good morning. How are you today?
Top of the morning. I'm spectacular.
All right. We're doing pretty well here, and it's really great to talk to you because, as I mentioned, big MMA fan. I think one of the greatest moments in MMA was Fight for the Troops 3, where you won the main event with a walk-off knockout. But before that, you enlisted in the United States Army, and as I understand it, you went to college first and then enlisted afterwards. So let me ask about that. What led you to join the wonderful United States Army all those years ago?
Pissed off? 9/11. I was sitting at a computer the morning of 9/11 watching those planes slam into the buildings and walked out of the recruiting office the same day.
Wow, so it was literally that much of a decision. Like, you knew that that was what you wanted to do. And after you joined at that time, tell us just a little bit about your career trajectory. As I mentioned, Ranger, Sniper, Green Beret. What was your time in the Army, that first enlistment, like?
That's amazing. You know, the Special Forces selection, the Special Forces qualifying course, they call it Q course. You know, they're all famously difficult things, and I was able to attend a lot of advanced schools once I got to Special Forces, hostage rescue courses, and other shooting courses. The job that we were doing, the war is just starting, and in the past, Special Forces, you know, I think they had a very heavy body of capable soldiers to teach and equip military. This was kind of the first time in a while that we were going to be fighting alongside the men and women that we were going to be training.
Right.
So we had that guys that were capable of war fighting at the highest level, in addition to being able to culturally and economically and socially understand the different cultures that we had to work with.
And of course, you had numerous deployments in support of Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. People who are interested in your time in the military and even your time in training, there's a lot that they can find out about that out there. And of course, your mixed martial arts career, which kind of began while you were still serving, of course, as an amateur, and then, of course, in the Modern Army Combatives Tournament. I know you trained in martial arts as a kid, but what was it that got you into competing in MMA? In fact, on top of all the training and all the difficulty that you had to do within the Army as well, why did you want to add that to the list of things that you had to deal with as well?
I mean, I think, your chassis is the foundation of everything that you are, and it has to be a very well-built, solid chassis. So I want to be the best Green Beret possible. I want to be the most vicious, hardest to kill person on the planet when that time was needed, but then also be a compassionate, understanding friend and partner to the guys that I was working with. Hmm. And fighting was kind of a means to an end. You know, if you hand me a gun, I'm a pretty dangerous guy. If you hand me a bat, I'm a pretty dangerous guy. You know, if you stick me in the octagon, you know, there's a couple of people on the planet that might have a chance of beating me, and I know them by first name. You know, everybody else, I'm pretty much gonna. So, you know, it was just to be better at my job.
Right. And of course, you were fantastic at your job, but at one point, and we'll talk about how you've actually come back to the Green Berets, but at one point, you decided to bring that to an end, basically, and finish your military career and focus more on fighting professionally, and then, of course, focusing on the TV work that we mentioned. What do you remember about that transition period when you decided to end your Army career at the time and work full-time on that other stuff? Was it a difficult transition for you, or did it go pretty smoothly?
No, it went really smooth. I think I've never had a break in service. I went from active duty to the National Guard, and then from the National Guard back to a more busy type of military work. The time where I was going to be fighting and doing television and running my businesses full time, or that's, you know, my real job, was it's effortless. You know, I think a lot of people assume that you know, you're going to get a handout as a veteran, or you know, you should put on your business card "vet-owned business," and somebody has a patriotic duty to help you. Like, none of that is true. Yeah. The reason that veterans succeed, and the reason that veterans should succeed, is because we're better at things because we've been working harder. Mm. We're going to be the first to get up. We're going to be the last to go to bed. We are going to be focused and disciplined. We're going to be efficient with our time. Our time management is going to be unlike anybody else ever. But the only way that's the case is if we put it into practice. We put into practice the things that we've been trained, the things that we know we can do, and we actually go and do them. A lot of the skills that you get in the military don't translate well to the civilian world. But the ones that do are the ones that no one has, especially this current generation, where they're want to walk into their office and sit on a sandbag and have you know, a soda water infused cup of coffee before they get to work. I'm going to walk into work before anybody else is there, and I'm going to be the last person to leave, and I'm going to be more efficient with my time, and you know, my task management is going to be the load, the volume of work I'm going to be able to do and that's because we've been trained to do that. Not because anybody's going to give us anything. And I promise you, veterans that are assuming that they're going to get out and that the transition is going to be okay, well, I'm going to get points when I put on my application, to be a firefighter or a police officer, veteran experience points. No, man, be number one. Be number one on the test. Be number one on both the academic and physical test. Be the number one on the interview. Be the number one on everything. You know, be the hardest working person out there, and that's how you're going to succeed. And that's how it was for me. Like, everything has been easy, and I work hard.
We're speaking with Tim Kennedy, former MMA superstar in UFC, currently Green Beret in the United States Army, and also a litany of other things that we're going to talk about here over the next few minutes with Tim. Now, Tim, do you think of yourself as setting an example? Because I know a lot of veterans look at you, like myself, and go, wow, not only is he doing so many things that are so great, it's the amount and the volume that you're doing, that you're finding time, you're finding the ability to do all this stuff. You know, it makes me feel a little bit lazy at times. And I think that's a good thing when I look at people like you. How do you view yourself as far as any influence you might have on the veteran community through your actions?
The only influence I worry about for the veteran community is the same thing that motivated me to train so hard on an ODA, is not to let down my brothers and sisters. And it's no different. As an entrepreneur, I don't let anybody down. I know a lot of people depend and look on me. I have employees, you know, colleagues and partners that I'm not going to let down. The people that watch me on television, different TV shows, I don't want to say or do something that is going to disappoint them. You know, the same on social media. I say a lot of pretty provocative things, but I still try to make sure everybody is proud that I represent them. Regarding being an example or any of that other stuff, man, I don't care. I just try to work hard. Right. Try to work hard and not let anybody down.
Right. Well, and let's talk about social media and the fact that you are not the type of person to hold back. When you got something that you want to say, you say it. Recently, we were talking in the office here about a statement that you put out over the flag protests and people kneeling, and I thought it was one of the most well-thought-out, rational responses to it, referring to that empty table setting that we know of and all the mess facilities and all the galleys and stuff like that. When it comes to the social media and during your military career and being still, you know, a Green Beret, what's been the reaction from big military on how outspoken you are and the attention that some of the things that you say get?
I've definitely gotten chastised, castigated for the things that I have said, but they weren't wrong, you know. And but the times that I've gotten my ass chewed out, and I've had my ass chewed out plenty of times, it's I'm okay with that, because I think, you know, one of the instances is when we're talking about letting female soldiers into combat arms and whether they should be in the Green Berets and Ranger School. And, you know, I was very clear about if it does happen, how it should happen. And that's keeping all of the requirements the same and not playing with words, not playing with language that, will happen the same as when everybody needs to score 100 on the PT test in their three different events, so a cumulative score of 300. While that sounds like the same, that means that the people, the soldiers, will be doing different. A female soldier will have to do, you know, 40 push-ups, whereas right. A male soldier will have to do 60-something push-ups. So by being clever with a play in words, you're saying that the soldiers will have the same requirement, but it's not true. And I called people on that, and then, you know, I was told to shut my face because it's a pilot program that they're testing. And then I again was like, well, guess what? The military is not a place for social experiments. You know, I don't care what agenda you have. It's all about making sure our military is the most lethal fighting force on the planet. And you know, you can keep your social experiments in Congress, and you can keep it in the White House, and you can do whatever you want with it. Just don't put it on us, because right. We have to go overseas and fight with your little dumb experiments, and men and women are going to be dying, brave men and women. So again, I got chewed out for that. You know, but it doesn't mean I'm wrong.
No.
And, you know, maybe I'm not the smartest guy in the world. Maybe I might say something that's wrong. And if I find out that I'm wrong, I'm going to apologize, because I think that's what you're supposed to do. But I'm not going to mince words. I'm going to be honest and to the best of my ability, and to coming from a man that speaks a few languages, you know, a graduate school student, been to more countries I can count, fought in almost every single continent on the planet. I'm going to give you the best thing I can from my perspective. And I realize that it's still just my perspective.
And whether he's one of the smartest men on the planet or not, I don't know the answer to that. I do know he's one of the baddest men on the planet. Tim Kennedy, Green Beret, Ranger, Sniper, MMA fighter in the UFC, Strike Force, and others. Also actor, TV presenter. And Tim, we had a fellow Ranger of yours on the show yesterday, Tristan Flannery of Zero Hour Media. And when we mentioned that you were coming on today, he said that the thing that's always impressed him the most about you is your understanding of needing to have the ability to be able to step in front of a camera, to be able to promote yourself in the proper way, to get out on social media and do those things. Did that just come naturally to you, or was that something that you needed to work on?
No, it definitely didn't come natural. I hate television. I hate the industry that is television. You know, when you have, it's horrible to say, but like the Harvey Weinstein is a pretty nice embodiment of a cultural problem within a specific industry. And it's not just a rape problem, and it's not just a male-dominated bunch of jerks being really disgusting humans to each other. It's, you know, their power plays, all the worst things, all the worst characteristics about humans are exemplified there. Mm. So, man, I had a hard time being and having to operate in that industry. But I have kind of this purpose, you know, and I realize that being in front of a camera is a means to an end. And I want to affect change. I want to affect positive change to my brothers and sisters in uniform, to the America that I fought for, that I got blown up for, that I've killed for, the America that I believe still exists. You know, we may not be putting our best foot forward sometimes, and I want to be able to have a say in that. Right. I want to be able to say, hey, check this guy out. You know, this guy is saying some really neat things about this America idea. You know, and we're a young country, and we're still figuring it out. And but even as a young country, what we are founded on is this beautiful concept that is ever-changing and sometimes even up for interpretation. So you have to have brilliant minds that that can perceive what we should be and what we are and what we came from. Mm. And so I try to help. I want to be in a position, and that's where putting myself out there and growing my brand is, so that I can help people make a better America.
Right. And one way that you put yourself out there that got a little bit of press at the time was you publishing your contact information, basically, and saying, hey, ISIS, come and get me if you want to give that a try. Now, that was, of course, a statement that I would imagine some people in your chain of command at the Army were none too pleased with. But what did you intend to do with that, to show just that, you know, the American people and the military are not afraid? Or what was the intention behind publishing your address, essentially, and saying, hey, here it is, come and get it?
We're the baddest people on the planet. You know, we are. Maybe we might be the obese right now, the most obese. We might be sometimes even the most lazy. But we built the Golden Gate Bridge, the Chrysler Building. We built those two towers before they were brought down by radical terrorists. You know, we dug the Panama Canal. We landed on the freaking moon. And we did it using feet and inches, not meters and centimeters. You know, like, we are... We're not perfect, but we won World War II. We stopped. We're not anti-fa. That's not what I'm talking about. We stopped real fascism.
Right.
We stopped Nazis that were gassing Jews in gas chambers in Auschwitz. You know, like that. We did that. Mm-hmm. You know, we made D-Day successful. We're pulling that. So, like we stopped communism. And are still fighting it today, but like we would the whole entire world be communist had we not done something from 1955 on. And so now we have a bunch of fanatics and radicals that are throwing gay people off of roofs and throwing acid on little girls that go to school. All the things that we are proud to defend as Americans. Because I think that it kind of goes along with who we and what we are, where we're going to stand up for the little guy. We're going to respect the freedoms of people, whether it's a girl that wants to go to school or a girl that wants to vote or drive a car, both of which are not allowed under Sharia law, or being gay. Well, I'm not, and I don't care if anybody else is. I'm pretty not cool with you pushing gay guys off roofs because you don't like their sexual orientation, or walking into a nightclub and shooting them. While I will, without a doubt, without a moment of hesitation, go and fight and kill anybody that tries to do that, because I believe it's your freedom to do whatever the hell you want. Mm. And that's what I was saying, you know, that these are a bunch of impotent little cowards that have been picking on the defenseless around the world. And that's not what you're dealing with here in the United States. You know, if they can continue doing what they're doing, which is walking into soft targets and hurting women and children, or they can grow a set of balls and try and mess with the people that they pretend that they are. And that's somebody that is actually tough. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anything special, because there are millions and millions and millions of other men and women just like me that will tear their throats out and laugh at them because they're disgusting terrorists.
Well, definitely a powerful message that you put out by giving them your address and saying, come and get some. Although I did wonder, I wonder if some of Tim's friends are going to stop dropping in unannounced because they think you might be watching that driveway a little bit more closely. As you mentioned, you know, working within the TV industry, you found difficulty with that because of the way it's set up and kind of the environment. One way around that was being involved in Range 15 through Ranger Up, Nick Palmisano, and so many other great people involved in that. Our friend Dale Dye. Range 15, a fantastic movie. If people are interested in it, it's available for purchase out there. And now, secondarily, a documentary about Range 15 is doing pretty well on iTunes from what I've been seeing. So what can you tell me about Not a War Story, Tim?
It is a documentary about Range 15, but it's a documentary about veterans succeeding. You know, it is, what is bridging the gap? You know, like, what is that? Everybody says it. Hey, we're, you know, transition from military to civilian career, blah, 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 blah. Let me show you what it actually looks like in practice. That's what Not a War Story is. It is a guy with no legs and no arms, dressed as a zombie, covered in blood, crawling down the street, while smoke's going off in the making of the zombie film. The zombie film Range 15 is really just the cracker for the caviar. And the caviar is Matt Best and Rocco and JT and Nick Palmisano and Jack Mandeville. It's this group of military veterans that are setting out to not only demonstrate what veterans can do, but more importantly, going into the most inhospitable environment on the planet, i.e. Hollywood, and making a Hollywood feature-length film and being successful at it. You know, like, really giving them the middle finger. And this was before we knew how disgusting Hollywood is and the things that they do. This is before then. We knew. But this is like, listen, like, everywhere that we went, people tried to stop us. And you can't. You know, like, it's like a bunch of Iraqi tanks in Gulfstorm 1. It's just a bad idea to try and stop us. We're going to make it to Baghdad one way or another, and you're either all going to die or you're going to fly the white flag. And this is what it was here. And so Not a War Story is a powerfully inspiring movie about who we are as veterans.
And we're coming to, you know, we're running out of time here. I could talk to you for hours about all this stuff, and I love hearing your opinions on it. But, you know, as you talk about the success of veterans, and as we look around, and some of the guests we've had on the show, like Evan from Black Rifle Coffee, one of your fellow Green Beret operators there, where do you think we are as far as veterans in success? Are you happy with where the amount of veteran success that you see out there, or do we need even more of it, do you think?
Oh, no, totally not happy. I would even, like, scratch on disappointed. I don't want to go on a rant, but we really need to be, people need to come to us for business, not because we're vets. People need to come to us to do business because we're the best at doing that job. That's it. Yeah. Not, you know, they're going to Black Rifle Coffee, not because it's a veteran-owned coffee company, even though it is, not because everybody that works there is a barrel-chested freedom fighter, beard-wearing American, even though they are. They're going there because they make really good coffee, you know? That's why. People are coming to Ranger Up because we make really awesome T-shirts and jeans and backpacks and shot glasses, not because we're a veteran-owned company. It's because we make really cool stuff. Yep. You know, the people are coming to Shoot Dog Response not because we're a veteran-owned company, even though we are. They're coming to us because we're putting out the best information on the planet to save lives.
Right.
And that's why. So I hate entitlement in any form. I hate somebody saying, hey, give me money, I have a bunch of kids, or I can't afford my medication for a disease that I caused myself from my drug use or from eating unclean or unhealthily. Like, I hate all forms of that. And one form of that is the veteran that's like, hey, man, I served 4 years, I deserve this. No, you don't. The only thing that they promised you was 3 meals and a cot and a whole bunch of pain and a whole bunch of hard work and bad knees and a bad back. That's what they promised you.
Mm.
So now it's on you to succeed. And they gave you tools. The military, hey, love them or hate them, they gave you tools and you just have to use them. So I want to see more. I want to see, we have the lowest percentage of congressmen and women that have military experience right now that in the history of our country. That disgusts me.
Hmm.
The Senate needs to be filled with men and women that have served their country and understand what service means. There's my rant. Sorry, I can keep going.
Hey, that's man, I wish we could, but as I mentioned, we are running out of time. So, Tim, if people are interested in finding out more about you, the companies you're involved with, the movies that you're working on, the TV show, is there any place that they can go that's going to have all that information, or are there a few places they should go?
I mean, I'm on social. I try to be pretty accessible there. Tim Kennedy MMA is my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. And I think I still do Snapchat, but it's Tim Kennedy MMA for everything. You just type in Tim Kennedy MMA and up I pop, and I try to keep to some degree a healthy amount of information on there.
Well, Tim Kennedy giving us a healthy amount of information, opinion, and so much good stuff. A man that I think each and every one of us in the veteran community respects, even if they don't agree with him. You've been listening to The Morning Briefing. I'm your host, Eric Dame. Hey, see you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.